following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. It's Sunday, November 17th, 2019, and thanks for joining us. It's the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up to the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. I want to take a quick pause and say welcome to Joan, who is in the chat room with us. Thank you for showing up. Typically, we start our show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please do not discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Welcome to Season 10, Episode 7. After tonight, there will be just the mid-season finale. Season 10 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season, with 8 episodes running until November 24th, that's next Sunday, then a winter holiday break until most likely February 2020, where we will resume episodes 9 through 16. We will keep our listeners informed as to when we get confirmation of the dates for the second half of the season. Call in to speak with the host if you like at 914-338-0314 anytime, but especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. If you call during the live show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phone is not your thing, you're welcome to join us in our live chat room, where you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact, and we post the links for that on our Facebook page and my Twitter, usually. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you're welcome to go back to each episode link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. Tonight's episode is entitled Open Your Eyes. Official AMC synopsis is, Carol pushes boundaries that make Daryl uncomfortable. Alpha and Beta have reservations about someone. I couldn't imagine who. Actually, I could imagine it's a couple people. It's maybe Gamma? Maybe Negan? We shall see. Additional synopses that I have for you guys. I'm pulling one up. Check in the chat room. Joan does not have anything to add just yet, so we'll go ahead and skip right to that. This is from fansided at undeadwalking.com. The Walking Dead 1007 synopsis, Open Your Eyes by Sarah Beth Pollock, one of their regular writers about the show. And she says, the first half of The Walking Dead Season 10 is about to come to a close. And the penultimate episode, does it count if it's for the mid-season? I don't know if that's a proper use of penultimate there, Sarah Beth. We've been really kind of getting picky about that here. Anyway, it sets up the story as tension with the Whisperers continues to cause problems while Alexandria is overrun with sick people. Carol has a definite plan when it comes to Alpha and her pack. In episode 1006, she went out to find the Horde, but she ended up capturing a Whisperer instead. The move caught Daryl off guard, but he's going to support her because there's no turning back now. The question, though, is what to do with him. Now that he has been captured, they won't be able to release him, so what's Carol's plan? Meanwhile, things are going from bad to worse in Alexandria as more people get sick. What started as a flu bug has turned into a full-blown epidemic, and Sadiq knows that they need to get ahead of it before it wipes out the entire community. We know that Alpha tasked Gamma with using walkers to dam up the creek, but would the walker water be enough to cause the infection? I did not get the impression that Alpha tasked Gamma to dam up the creek. You don't need walkers for that. That's kind of, Sarabeth, not too bright. You use walkers to poison the water. Hello? Anyway, she says, why is it so sporadic with only certain people affected? Probably because it has to do with where they're getting their water, how much they're drinking, or what else they're drinking with it, which may point to a cure plot. I don't know. While Sadiq struggles to find the cause of the illness, he's still reeling from his PTSD, and it's threatening to take over his life, you know, as PTSD does. In 10:06, he woke up with Coco on top of the windmill. If he doesn't find a way to cope with his PTSD and the memories of what happened. That's a run-on sentence, sweetie. It needs a something. If, then. Anyway, there's a synopsis, which I've already read you. That is the end of that synopsis. And so let me start pulling up the link to the second one, which is from bleedingcool.com. That is a secondary source that we have started using more often. I'm going to check in the chat room. Joan has not added anything as of yet, so we will go ahead and continue. All right. Can you hear me? Just making sure that I am being heard properly. Okay. The Walking Dead Season 10, Open Your Eyes. As an interrogation begins, could our Sadiq theory prove out? From Leading Cool, published November 12th by Ray Fluke, who is their regular writer about this series. While the cast and crew of AMC's The Walking Dead roll along with the 10th season, life in the franchise's universe has become a lot like the NFL. Neither have off-seasons anymore. Oh, that's hilarious. With a strong ensemble cast and a big bad fronted by Samantha Morton in an award-earning turn as Whisperer's leader Alpha, and richly layered writing, showrunner executive producer Angela Kang did the near impossible, made the show feel fresh and dangerous again. We didn't mince words over how impressed we were with season opener Lines We Crossed. Then we had Morton, Ryan Hurst, and Thora Birch raising the bar even higher with We Are the End of the World, offering up some Whisperer's backstory. Ghosts elevated the paranoia as Melissa McBride continues delivering an award-winning performance, while Silence the Whisperers proved again why it's in Michael Cudlitz we trust, because he's been directing stuff. As a matter of fact, he directs tonight, but that's a spoiler for later. What It Always Is has a now free Negan beginning his redemption arc. There's question marks. I am assuming that is probably an assumed comic reference. As with all things, I don't really need to know, because he's going to do what he's going to do on TV. While Alpha raises the stakes against our survivors, Bonds, last week, had Negan facing a test and passing with flying colors for now. Carol and Daryl possibly making matters worse for the community by picking up a Whisperer, and Eugene reaching out and getting a response. Which brings us to the promo for this week's mid-season penultimate episode, Open Your Eyes, again with the penultimate. And again, if it's a halfway mark, is that a proper use? I am actually curious, Joan, if you happen to find out, since you helped me find out the definition. While the overview mentions Carol, Daryl, Alpha, and Beta, we're actually more interested in seeing if our theory about Sadiq selling out the others turns out to be true. I don't really see much meat and potatoes for that. Selling out the others, not necessarily. I'm not after Carl bringing him in and the whole thing behind it. Okay, so there's photos, and I'm skipping down just to see if there are other things I have missed. Okay. Bleeding Cool is a funny format, and they have a tendency to skip from the current present-day article to some overarching comments about the season as a whole. I don't really care for that. I find it confusing. So that is really all that I'm interested in from that preview. So let's go over to comicbook.com with Cameron Bolomono, written November 10th. The Walking Dead hit a huge hint about Sadiq's secret in Season 10, Episode 6. This is technically not a synopsis for tonight, but it is relevant to last week and things that we are going to be going into tonight. So that is the reason I am reading it. I'm going to check in the chat room. Joan does have some commentary. She agrees with me, wrinkling my nose, that yes, they're getting a little careless with that penultimate crap. That's two different sources that used it tonight. Penultimate of the first half, but not accurate for the season. And this is my point. I don't consider the midseason finale to be the last. I don't think it's correct to say that. And so, therefore, it's not correct to say the one right before it is the penultimate. And even if it is for the first half, I don't think that's proper. I think there's only one per season. You can't really have two. I think that's abuse of the word myself. And yes, I'm a little bit of a grammar fascist. I don't like to use the N-word for grammar, but, you know, if I take you out back and gas you for not using the Oxford comma, then we can use that word. But otherwise, no thank you. Okay, let me go back to comicbook.com. And they have to say, Cameron Bolomono is saying, The Walking Dead is closer to revealing more about the trauma afflicting the PTSD-ridden Sadiq, who may be harboring a dark secret about his encounter with Alpha and the Whisperers. That should be a band. The sole survivor of a slaughter that left 10 dead, including former protege Enid, Tara, and Kingdom Prince Henry. Sadiq was left alive to spread a message of fear among the communities. Sadiq is struggling with survivor's guilt and is prone to panic attacks and flashbacks that return him to the barn where he was forced to watch the Whisperers murder and then decapitate the victims. But as Alexandria's resident doctor, he's hiding his own troubles and confiding only in assistant Dr. Dante. In episode 1006, Bonds, Sadiq is resting with baby daughter Coco after helping Dante combat a quickly spreading sickness affecting a growing number of Alexandrians. Sadiq focuses on Coco's mouth, bringing to mind the exposed mouths of the masked Whisperers and triggering an episode. Sadiq's eyes close and we hear what sounds to be the panicked and labored breathing of Enid. Then faintly, Alpha can be heard saying, Open your eyes. Next, the unmistakable sound of screams. We then hear what sounds like the growling voice of Beta ordering command, Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Sadiq opens his eyes and finds himself now suddenly and inexplicably outside, standing and clutching Coco at the Alexandria windmill. I'm very curious how he got all the way up there with that child and didn't get knocked out of it, but I digress. Interestingly, episode 10-7 is titled Open Your Eyes, which is part of why I read this. Per its official synopsis, which I've already read you, blah. This episode might shed light on Sadiq's trauma and could reveal he may have been something that could be a spoiler, and so I'm not going to finish that sentence. But it is a comment about what might be some of what he witnessed or went through. And if they say it tonight, great. If not, I'll let you know what they said. Sadiq would want to avoid looking during the gruesome event, likely explaining the open your eyes command. In past episodes, we saw Sadiq flashback to the barn where we saw Alpha admiring a glimmering and bloodied blade. A flashback told to Sadiq's eyes presented Alpha uncomfortably up close where she whispered, good. We could soon see a revelatory flashback to the events of 9:15, the calm before, which ended with a reveal of Alpha's border and the Whisperer's victims' heads on pikes. Quote, I will say that there are some flashbacks this season, showrunner Angela Kang previously told Entertainment Weekly ahead of season 10. One of the things we're kind of dealing with in the season has to do with illusion and people's fears and what's real, what's not, the weight of the past on people. So we'll definitely see some windows into the past that kind of shed light on the present. It should be interesting. End quote and end article. All right, I'm going to check in with the chat room real quick. Jonah says, agreed again, but they do it every year, so apparently don't listen to us like they should. Actually, you know, you may remember differently, but I don't have a memory of them overusing penultimate in this way before. That would have kind of stuck out to me. But then again, I have short-term memory loss, and if I remember pants, it's a good day. So, you know, I could be totally in the wrong here. Alrighty. So that is the last of the articles for the moment until we get to discussion stuff later. Writers and directors profiles, it is 8:45. We've got 15 minutes more of chit-chat before we go dark. So tonight's episode was written by Corey Reed and directed by Michael Cutlets. And let's do Corey's bio. He was born in 1974 in L.A. He is the son-in-law of producer Jeremy Stevens. He has been married to Nellie Stevens Reed since May 10, 2008. Reed is an American television writer and producer who has served as a writer since season 5 of the AMC series Walking Dead. Corey started in the industry as a writer on the television series Medium. He was praised for his writing style, and that got him a place as a main writer for the TV series Da Vinci's Demons. He has also written for other lesser-known TV series. Reed has also been a script coordinator and writer and story editor for the TV show Medium. Corey has written 16 prior Walking Dead episodes, starting with Season 5, Episode 3, Four Walls and a Roof. The last one before tonight being Season 9, Episode 14, Scars. Tonight's episode will be the 17th he's written for the franchise. Reed also has been a supervising producer for 16 episodes, 2014 to 15, and co-executive producer for 69 episodes, 2015 through 2019, including all of season 10 so far and likely into the end of the season. He has also been on Talking Dead twice, in 2016 after season 6, episode 4, Service, and 2018 after season 8, episode 3, Warning Signs. I'll check the chat room real quick. Joan has mentioned, she forgot, this was the other episode that Cutlets was talking about directing. Colt, yes. We did briefly mention that a couple of times earlier in the season, that this was it. Michael Cutlets was born on December 29, 64 in Long Island, New York. He is married to Rachel Cutlets, a television actress. They have two children. He graduated from the California Institute of the Arts. He is known for his work on Gross Point Blank in 97, Sex Drive 2008, and Southland 2009. Other works, he has appeared in many stage productions. Apparently he's a theater person also, including Ring of Steel at the Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles, Tartuffe, Much Ado About Nothing, Dead Giveaway, Coriolanus, The Cherry Orchard, Bus Stop, The Lion in Winter, Charlie's Aunt, and Summer and Smoke. Michael has over 100 acting credits in TV shows and movies since 1989, including work on shows such as 21 Jump Street, L.A. Law, Growing Pains, Drag in a Bruce Lee Movie, ER, Touched by an Angel, NYPD Blue, Home Improvement, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I did not know. I am fairly thoroughly versed in that show, and I'll have to go figure out what that was. Walker, Texas Ranger, 6 Feet Under, 24, Day 2, original series, Nip Tuck, CSI Miami. He did the voice of Sergeant Glenn Hawk Hawkins and other miscellaneous characters in the video game Call of Duty, CSI New York, Bones, CSI original series, and many more. He played Abraham Ford in The Walking Dead for 39 episodes, from Inmates, Season 4, Episode 10, to his cameo in What Comes After, Season 9, Episode 5. Tonight will be his third time directing for the franchise, the first being Season 9, Episode 7, Stradivarius, and the second being Season 10, Episode 4, Silence the Whisperers. According to the Wikia for the show, he will also be directing the new second spinoff series, currently under the working title Monument, that is filming in Hopewell, Virginia, outside Richmond, Season 1, in some capacity to be later announced in 2020. And when I find out exactly what he's directing and when, I will let you guys, of course, know. So let's give some big applause to these guys. Thanks for your work on the show. It's 8:50, and it's trivia time. Da, da, da. It's the 137th episode of Walking Dead ever. I don't know if this episode is scheduled to run slightly extended, but all of them have kind of been bleeding over. So I'm assuming yes. Okay, co-stars Matt Mangum as DJ, who's a former savior. Alexandria, remember, he's put on a pike by the Whisperer, so he's one of the heads on there. So I assume his co-starring tonight involves a flashback. And Rebecca Kuhn as Cheryl. She's the older woman in the infirmary last week, both flirting with Dante. Uncredited actors. Seven as Dog. Oddly, Caitlin Macon as Enid in a flashback. I don't know why they wouldn't credit her, but that's how it was. Jimmy McAfee as Coalition Soldier, a.k.a. Savior 31. He has been with the show since Season 6, Episode 16, Last Day on Earth. Chris Hodge, Mario Williams, and Chuck Hollywood as Alexandria Residence, and Bruce Green as a highwayman. Tonight's episode trivia that we have so far. Last appearance of Enid, last appearance of DJ, both as flashbacks. This episode marks Avi Nash's 25th appearance on the TV series. The title of the episode, Open Your Eyes, refers to Sadiq remembering Alpha telling him this during his PTSD-fueled flashbacks. Check the chat room, and Joan is not saying anything further, so let's go ahead. Last episode trivia from last week, Bonds. The title of the episode, Bonds, refers to the interactions between different characters throughout the episode. Eugene reveals his middle name to be Herman, with two N's, to the radio woman. Daryl uses the walker guts trick to avoid detection when surrounded by a herd. And why the hell is this not used more? The bug that Rosita caught is revealed to be spreading, since there are more than a dozen sick Alexandrians now, lending further credence to the theory that the infection is a result of the Whisperers contaminating Alexandria's water supply. Thank you. Not about blocking the water, it's about polluting the water. Sadiq's PTSD appears to be getting worse, as he is shown to be blacking out during his episodes and waking up in completely different locations. Negan attempts to prove himself to the Whisperers in order to join them, or at least to seem like he is. While Beta does his best to hinder him, even attempting to get him killed, Negan survives and seemingly oppresses Alpha. This episode marks the first time in the Walking Dead franchise that two characters classified as major recurring primary antagonists have interacted with each other, which is Negan and Alpha. The method that the Whisperers and Negan use to cook the boar is called Pachamanca, P-A-C-H-A-M-A-N-C-A, a method used in Peru that dates back to the Inca Empire. Paca means earth and manca means pot, and I apologize to my son-in-law, who is partially of Peruvian descent, if I said this very badly. Please let me know kindly. Uncredited characters from last week, too many to mention, as often happens. Deaths from last week. One unnamed Whisperer 12, that's the person who feeds Negan and is killed for it later. The actor is unlisted. I've not been able to find out who that is. And one boar that was, of course, put in the earth pot. There are no goofs, errors, bloopers listed for last week. All right, Joan is commenting. I was intrigued by the Buffy thing, too, so she looked it up for us. He was in the episode Zeppo in Season 3. He played Bob, a reanimated corpse. I'm going to have to go back and watch Buffy again. Wow. You know what? Now that I stop and think about it, this sounds vaguely familiar because his look was similar. I got to go and check this out, too. I'm right there with you. All right. 8:55. Let's do some more trivia. Okay, no, that's the last of the trivia. Let's do cast birthdays. Okay, this week we have two. One of them is a crossover birthday. If it's on the date of the next show, I'll do them twice. So people that are born on the dates that fall on Sunday always get an extra cookie. Andrew James West, who played Gareth, the leader of Terminus. His birthday is November 22nd, and he is from Merrillville, Indiana. And Denise Michelle Crosby, who played Mary from Terminus, November 24th, and her birthplace is Hollywood, California. So let's wish these guys both a big happy birthday. Thanks for your work on the show. Joan has mentioned she doesn't remember the episode, the Zeppo, from Buffy. That's kind of the one where Xander, early on, and where Xander gets to not be the sort of goofy fifth wheel guy for a while. He gets to be somebody else important for a little bit. It's a Marx Brothers reference. Zeppo's the brother that nobody remembers. That's kind of the point. Okay. Featured music from last episode, 8:56. Got 4 minutes. So the song that is playing while Beta makes Negan dig a hole is Spinning Top by the Orlons. O-R-L-O-N-S. Name of the band. That's the only identified music I could locate. On account of four characters, I'm going to skip. I've harped on this a lot. None of them have shown up yet. Talking Dead tonight's going to be a little interesting. We are in for a reunion because there's just two people listed for tonight. Chandler Riggs is coming back and Avi Nash. And so they will get together to talk about good times and Chandler's character bringing Avi's character into the show. Front half of season 10, next week is the mid-season finale, episode 139 ever, season 10, episode 8, titled The World Before. Writer is Julia Ruckman, director is John Dahl, and that will air next weekend, November 24th, next Sunday. We assume for now that episodes 9 through 16 will start February 2020. We'll let you know when. We don't have a start date for Fear Season 6, but assume it will be mid-April, as has happened in the past. Probably it'll be April to May, then resume 9 through 16 in August. There's the new series, the third series, Working Titles Monument. It's going to premiere. It has been announced in spring of 2020, so I am assuming it will follow Season 6, 1 through 8 of Fear, which I guess would put it into May. And then June, and then we only have a few weeks, not even a month, of break. We'll see how it goes. I'll let you all know what I find out. In November 2019 article from comicbook.com, it was said that in 2020 there will only be 10 weeks out of the entire year next year without one version or another of The Walking Dead airing, which means they know that Monument will also air on Sunday nights in between the first two franchises. So that's 42 episodes of something. In 2020. That's a hell of a lot. All right. Other upcoming shows I'm going to actually, let's say 58. I tell you what, I do not feel comfortable rushing this. So when we come back, I'll let you know about some other shows on this network that you should check out. And then we might be able to pull up the discussion topics and talk about that stuff in between the commercial breaks. I'll get that all set up and pull up the first article, since we have finished all the rest of our content. And now it's 8:59. We're about to go to the next one. It's just the last little bit where Alpha's all impressed with Negan. And she's like smelling him. Like she's a little lizard. Shh. Alpha, you're a freak. Negan's on to you. All right, we're getting ready to go. I am going to go dark, and I'll see you guys at the first break. Okay, guys, it's 9:03, short beginning. Joan's starting with 5. I'm starting at a 5.5. I don't know if I can really articulate why. I kind of just like how they are dealing with Sadiq's PTSD. And maybe it's my bias. As somebody who has it, I find it kind of interesting how they are dealing with it. So, anyhow, hang on just a quick second. I need to actually let an errant feline out of my office, who should not be in here when I'm doing my show, young lady. All right, thank you. Back to the show. Thank you for your patience. All right, Jonas just said, wow, that was weird, with her 5. So, let me go back to my notes. Upcoming shows, I said I would get to that. Thursday the 21st, coming up, 8 p.m., Travel Itch Radio. America's favorite city, San Francisco. I don't know if it's America's favorite city. It's one of them. Take center stage in the final 2019 episode of Travel Itch Radio. Dan Schlossberg and Anita Stokes-Thomas talk about the Hiltons of San Francisco, including Park 55 at Union Square. Wednesday, the 27th at 11 p.m., the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, Episode 80, topic yet not announced, although it's going to be something to do with the holidays and dealing with family, toxic family. Also, please rejoin us next Sunday, the 24th, at 8:30 p.m. for Season 10, Episode 8, which is The World Before, and that will be the mid-season finale. We hope that you guys will be able to join us for that. All right. Keeping an eye on things, discussion topics, Friday the 13th in December. Happy Death Day on Halloween. I'm not sure what all is going on. Come on, what the heck movie is this? It's Black Christmas. Okay, Friday the 13th of December, Black Christmas movie. And AMC's got some trailers for AMC stuff coming up for the holidays. So I don't know how much further we're going to get. I don't know if I'm going to read too much more. I'll let you know the story that I want to come up first. So Walking Dead responds to Negan and Carl plot hole comments. And there was a plot hole. All right, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 2. Okay, guys, it's 9:12. It's a little bit longer. Break number two, Jones at 5:05. I'm at 5:75. The thing that Daryl put on his desk seems to be the two acorns, the double acorns that Carol gave him out of target practice last week. But I'm not sure what the looks like a gray metal disc in between them. I don't know if that's the way to keep them together or how that goes or what exactly was going on. Not really sure. Okay, so that is that with the scoring and explanations and conversation. So let's go back to the article I wanted to talk about. This is from digitalspy.com by Jess Lee, and it was written, apparently digitalspy.com, despite being a .com, at least Jess apparently is British because the date is screwed up. It's 14/11/29. So the 14th this was written. And he says, well, Jess, I don't know, it could be male or female, not sure, sorry. The Walking Dead has addressed a plot hole related to Negan and Carl's relationship after Rick's son was referenced in a recent episode. In Season 10, Episode 5, What It Always Is, Negan is accompanied and idolized by an Alexandria member named Brandon. Brandon can't stop raving about Negan's time as leader of the Saviors and at one point excitedly brings up rumors that he killed Carl. I heard you made Rick cut his own kid's hand off and you killed him, Brandon said. Carl Grimes, I heard you shot him. Negan angrily interrupts Brandon. I never did that. I would never kill a kid. It's clear that Negan was rather fond of Carl, but some viewers brought up a scene in Season 7, Episode 16, when Negan was about to kill Carl with his weapon of choice, Lucille, as punishment. TGW rewards the word is devour tonight. Back to the article. Walking Dead's official Twitter account took note of the comments and responded by, quote, tweeting a post and writing, we call that growth, whatever, on November 11th. You know what? We call that bad continuity, and you guys could be gracious about taking your lumps and not making excuses, whatever. Elsewhere, there's been a lot of speculation recently surrounding Sadiq. One theory suggests that Sadiq may have been forced to not saying. And another one is also not saying, because these theories are spoilery enough that I don't want to share them. I think they're a little too dangerous. So there is that. Joan has commented, for the record, I think Sadiq's PTSD is from being forced. Oh, Joan has said, for being forced to watch her kill all the Pike victims, not what the articles are suggesting, as forcing him to. You know what? I'm not going to actually read that on the air, but yes, I acknowledge what you said. Thanks for TW Rewards. I just missed it tonight. And let me try to pull up the next article that we can discuss. Walking Dead boss explains why Daryl has never been in a relationship. And I think we kind of know, but then again, I actually beg to differ. He's been in several relationships. They're just not what we in the non-Walking Dead universe would consider a normal, healthy relationship. But, you know, he's been attached to multiple people. He's always had a thing with Carol in a way of speaking. And he definitely had a thing with Beth for a while, even though it wasn't romantic. But it was a relationship. I think this is something of a misnomer. 21 Bridges is Friday, and we are back. I'll shut up. See you guys at break number three. Okay, we're at break number three, and I'm definitely going up to six. Commentary. Joan has said, about what Lydia said about spreading dissenting ideas, seems like Aaron is unwittingly doing that with Gamma. I don't know that it's unwittingly, but Joe said, breaking the cult mentality ain't going to be easy, though, I don't think. And I said, unwittingly, it's like they're both doing the same tactic, he and Carol, but that wasn't planned. It just seems like they're both doing the same thing. Joan is with me at six now. And she says, yeah, but each doesn't seem to know the other has that strategy. Yeah, I don't know that Aaron was doing it on purpose in the beginning. I think it's more a crime of opportunity that he could see Gamma being interested in these things and kind of playing to it when she shows her ass, when he's talking to her. And then Jonas said, he thinks he could take Carol. That's cute. Oh, yeah. Oh, honey, if you want to keep Mr. Willie, I really don't think you should pursue that conversation. Okay. Let me go back to the article. So this one, it was presented as something about Daryl, but it's actually about quite a bit of stuff all last week. There's quite a bit here. So it's from Yahoo Entertainment. The Walking Dead boss explains why Daryl's never been in a relationship, written by Dalton Ross on November 10th in Entertainment Weekly. Many men and women have taken a knee before Negan, but the tables were turned at the end of Sunday's episode of The Walking Dead Bonds, when the former Savior's leader passes Beta's life-or-death test in dramatic fashion, then pledged his loyalty to Alpha by dropping to one knee in front of the Whisperer's leader. That was just one of the many stories that unfurled in Sunday's episode. We also saw Carol attempt to sneak out on a solo mission only to be joined by Daryl, leading to a heart-to-heart chat about Daryl's love life or lack thereof. Meanwhile, the sickness is spreading in Alexandria, and Eugene may have just made contact with the next big community. Leaving that out. I don't necessarily know that that's even true, but I'm not going to mention it. We spoke to showrunner Angela Kang to give the inside scoop on all that and more. And I know Angela wouldn't give it away. So hopefully she doesn't quote anything from what I just left out. So Entertainment Weekly says, let's start with Negan and Beta pairing because we knew this was going to be intense when these two encountered each other. But you then unexpectedly added a comedic element in that with a montage showing Beta one-upping him in a few scenarios. Tell me about the idea to have some fun with that. And Angela says, our inspiration came from the comic book way that Negan and Beta interacted when Negan, she says this and she's a showrunner. I'm not a big fan of her saying so. When Negan was just constantly poking fun at Beta. And so I thought that was just a fun dynamic and the room really latched on to that. So we were like, well, what would be a fun way to do this? And I'm just thinking about those characters. They're both these big, strong, formidable guys. And I think Beta would immediately see this guy come in and go like, yeah, he's trouble. I don't like him. I don't trust him. Fuck this guy. And then Negan, for his part, he's in there with a goal. He's like, well, who's this guy? And he wants to cut him down. So there's a way that could play that's all just entirely intense. But we thought that there's something a little bit ridiculous about it. And it was just a fun and fresh way to go about it. It's dealing with both of their respective insecurities, but also the ways that they jockey. It's a pissing contest in the apocalypse. Jeffrey and Ryan really had a fun time playing it. They just thought it was such a hoot. Next question. We also see Beta and Alpha get into an argument about Negan, and she says he's been questioning her judgment a lot, but it ends with Beta kneeling down. Is there ever a breaking point for these two, or is Beta too loyal? Waiting to see. Okay. We're still in commercials. Answer. That's part of the story we're trying to tell for the season, is those two have this very close and yet complex relationship, and the introduction of first Gamma into that trio, and then Negan, definitely shakes things up. Part of the way that we're tracking the story of the Whisperers is what is happening in that core relationship between Alpha and Beta, and certainly I think the fact that Alpha feels some doubt coming from Beta is also changing her tactics. Partly why she brings Gamma into her fold and why she's interested in the presence of Negan. And all of that has a lot of implications for what happens to the Whisperers as the season goes on. We are back. See you guys at break number four. It's 9:37. We are at break number four. I'm at 6:75. Jones at 6:05. And my comment from the last section is that I really don't think that Aaron is wise at all to give Gamma any demographic data on him, because it could be used on him later if Alpha has any damn sense. To know that he has a daughter, to know that there are more children, you know, the Whisperers do kind of have a point. When you have children in a scenario like they're dealing with, in an apocalyptic situation, a eschaton, you know, disaster, end of the world thing, when you have kids, they do slow you down. You have to take precautions you would not take if you had functional adults who can pull their own weight and do their own thing. That's just simple biology. And some kids are lucky and can do some things, but an awful lot of them cannot, and especially not little ones like what they've got now. So, got a point. I think we're well into commercial still, so I'm going to go over to the article and go to the next question. Entertainment Weekly says, we also see Beta and Alpha get into an argument about Negan. Oh, no, I said that to you. Okay, I just read that one. We need to go to the next one. I love the scene at the end where they think Negan is dead and he shows up and he's bragging about how big his balls are. But then he does take a knee before Alpha, who responds by making the shushing noise. So does that mean he's been now accepted into the group? And Angela says, yeah, I think it's certainly the fact that he came back and impressed her. And so there's more to come between Alpha and Negan for sure. He has that swagger and he's been suppressing that for a while. But you put them out there in the wild and this is how he knows how to survive. It's with a sense of confidence and badassery, and certainly it makes an impression. But she also thinks he talks too much. I think we all think he talks too much. Okay, Entertainment Weekly says, hang on. Oh, I have a Siri commercial for iPhone. A Day in the Life, Walking Dead, Our World, which is a phone game. I actually play that. It is somewhat similar to the augmented reality games. You know, you have Ingress and you have Harry Potter and you have the Pokemon game. It is a little bit like that, except it does not use the locations that the games use that are tied to Niantic, the gaming company. And now we're into a J.D. Power commercial, so we can go back to the article. So let's switch gears and talk about some of the other things that were going on. We see all these people getting sick in Alexandria. Is this linked to Gamma slicing up on those Guardians into the water supply? Angela says, maybe, maybe not. It's part of what our people are grappling with, is why are all these people getting sick? And it's this building problem for them where while they're dealing with every other thing that's going on with the Whisperers. And that'll be a story that continues to unfold and we'll learn more about in the next episode, and that means tonight. All right, still on the commercial, let's go to the next question. Here's the one that we thought we were going to do. Entertainment Weekly, I want to get into this Carol and Daryl scene where she asks him about Connie and he says it's not like that. And she's sort of trying to nudge him along in that direction. Instead of asking you if Daryl and Connie are going to get together, what I want to know is, what is it that makes Daryl so reluctant to be in a relationship? It's been around 8 years in Showtime, and he's never even been close to one. I don't think that's technically true, but I've said that earlier. There's clearly something there. We see it. Kelly is seeing it. Carol's seeing it. And Daryl is almost refusing to see it. So what is this saying about him and the reason why he doesn't want to go there? And we are back. And I'll tell you at the end of break number five. Okay, guys, we are back. Jones is 675. I'm going to stay at my 675 at least for the moment. Jonas said, oh, Eugene's going to be offended. Rosita just told Sadiq is the smartest person she knows, finally, and finally figuring out the common denominator is the water, and asking, did he somehow mess up the filtration system? I don't know that he messed it up. I think he's just angry because it was something so simple that he didn't think about it. And she's like, well, I mean, he doesn't remember putting hemlock in his medical bag. I really don't know. I guess he's just angry at these stupid mistakes that he's making because he's so messed up. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't think he's angry that he messed up the filtration system. Okay. So back to the Daryl and Carol and the romance thing. So Angela Kang's answer to Entertainment Weekly. Quote, Daryl's such an interesting character that way because in some ways, when it comes to romantic relationships, he's not a person I think trusts easily. And a lot of that has to do with his backstory, which is filled with so much trauma. He was physically abused, as well as in other ways. There's sensitivity there for him. And I think he's also just a person who it's hard for him to trust anybody enough to connect with them really, really deeply. It's a long, slow process for him in a lot of ways to get into any kind of a romantic thing. Whereas I think most people these days think of it as like, oh, you could have fun with somebody and you could have sex with them and then it doesn't have to mean anything. Daryl's just not wired that way, and that tracks with conversations that Norman and I have had. He doesn't attach to people lightly enough that he can give it a chance easily, you know? So I think that's a really big part of it, but certainly from Carol's perspective, she cares about him so deeply, and people see that relationship in all kinds of different ways. But what really felt real for us is that they had this whole conversation about we're best friends, and she's in this mode where she just wants revenge. And then there's an aspect of her that wants to make sure that no matter what happens in all this and what happens to her, that Daryl has other people to lean on and rely on besides her, because what if something happens to her? On the couch is Chandler and Avi, and it's just them. I mentioned that to you guys earlier. There's a lot of friendship psychology in love, the care that they have for each other, and she sees that Connie's a good person. He seems to connect to her, and he doesn't connect to many people at all. It's like she wants to make sure he's not going to just drift off and lose the community like he has before. She was the one thing that kept him tethered to the group when he was off as a mountain man in the years that we jumped. Entertainment Weekly. So what was Carol's plan in crossing the border? Was it always to take a prisoner? Angela. I think that was always sort of her plan. I think she in her kind of lone wolf way wanted to do that by herself. Daryl saw like, oh, hey, she's going out. What might that be about? He knows her, and you can see that he's a little suspicious of her from the beginning. Quote, she was just laid up after everything had happened, and she's just going to randomly go out now? Maybe I should go with her. And he gets entangled in the whole thing, but she had zip ties. She was always planning on crossing the border. So I absolutely think she was going to get a prisoner or some other thing. I think it's partly opportunistic, but she was ready to take a prisoner as needed. Alrighty. We have sort of a trailer commercial, so I think we're going to go back in a minute. I don't know if I really want to get into the next question. Kind of stalling to see if we go to another commercial or not. Oh, and we do the hip-hop thing. Question. Let me ask you about Eugene and the radio. He comes into contact with a woman on the other end of the radio. How much of him talking to her is a prospect of getting another community into the network, and how much is just him being lonely? And now we are back, so I'll see you guys at the next break. Okay, guys, it's 10:06, and holy crap! All of a sudden, the Endy just came up and kicked us in the doodads. Joan had mentioned Avi Nash has really short hair on the Talking Dead couch. Hopes it means he got a haircut on the show like Maggie did a few seasons ago. And I said, I'm worried it might mean something bad, but remember the shows were filmed months ago. And she says, yeah, no, but they thought they were still filming the back half unless they just finished. I'm not really sure how they do that. I don't know that they split filming, but they may split showing. I'm unclear. And now we know there's a whole thing with Dante. And I have to give Angela Kang props. This is actually super interesting to me, and it's been a while since we've had something going on like that. So I'm actually intrigued, and I'm going to let you guys go so you can watch The Talking Dead and talk about that. I'm ending on a 7.5, and Joan is ending on a 7, and I don't know that I am going to actually have you know what? I'm going to leave the article in, and I'll try to remember to come back to you next week and just read the end part. I'm going to copy the question I haven't read to you yet so that I know where to pick up. And that way, we don't have to read the whole damn article over again. So I've added that to my notes, and everything else is good. Thank you guys for joining us. So thank you not only to everybody who's joining us tonight, but those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We hope you guys will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. It'll be the mid-season finale. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links, and we will see you guys next time. Always appreciated when you come by. Thank you, and good night.